to Charts at Hearts. I'm Sarah, and she's Lindsay.
And together, we're working our way through an epic list of rom-coms in order to find and categorize tropes in the hopes of creating the nerdiest spreadsheet podcasts have ever seen.
And today, we're wrapping up First Wives Club month with Overboard.
It's been a weird month, guys.
We picked a Goldie Hawn movie, and we picked this one for, I don't know why.
I think it was probably the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, and like, it is a rom-com. It's just weird.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an 80s movie, which two out of the three this month have been 80s movies, and I'm just like, wow. What's happening?
And like, not good 80s movies.
Yeah.
they're not the exemplars of the decade, for
no.
sure.
No, and it's one of those ones of, like, because I hadn't seen Overboard, and, like, I was reading the trivia, and everyone's like, this is the funniest movie I've ever seen. Nobody, like, everybody loved it. They were laughing so hard, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, there are parts where I'm like, this is charming and stuff, like, later on in the movie where it gets slightly better.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is not... Like, some of it's kind of amusing, but this is not the funniest movie ever. What were you talking about?
No, I know. I think I had seen it, but not for a very long time. And I remember it being way more slapsticky. And so I'm like, is this just me that because it's so terrible that I just can't find it funny? Or is it not funny? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like a combo of those two things.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, so overwhelmed by how terrible this is. That,
yeah. The forced
and then
slavery of it all.
I looked, because they did remake it in 2018. And they flipped it, so it was a dude, so I guess it's slightly less sketchy, but still not at all.
No, I mean, just because it's a dude doesn't mean
it's exactly.
It's consensual.
Just like,
yeah,
it's just slightly less predatory, I guess. Kind of, but not really.
It's like, it
comes across less predatory. And I'm just like, especially 2018, like the year after Me Too. And I was like, really? This is when we're going to remake this movie?
Okay. Well, I'm sure it was already in progress.
I know, yeah, but still, like.
But yeah. Ugh. Yeah, no, I put a note at the end. There's a remake that I will never watch, even though it stars Anna Faris, but no. Nope, 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 nope. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, so basically. She's rich and snobby and quite terrible to the people around her. She falls off a boat. She gets amnesia. She ends up at a hospital. She still doesn't know who she is. Her husband, who's rich and snobby and the grandpa from Gilmore Girls, abandons her there, like, comes, sees that it's her, and just is like, well, nope. And then Kurt Russell sees that she's there. Oh, because Kurt Russell had worked on her ship as a carpenter and then got treated poorly. And then decides, oh, I'm going to pretend that she's my kid's dead wife, get all of my kids involved in pretending this, and then force her to be my, like, domestic servant, nanny, etc., in exchange, because she didn't pay me for the carpentry work, and then they fall in love.
Yeah.
And many hijinks ensue.
Yes. Well, of course. Yeah, it's...
And the kids are terrifying.
Yeah.
But also, like, the way that they are... raised by, like, Kurt Russell is the most hands-off, like, useless dad.
Oh yeah, it's just, it's weird because they want him to be, they want you to think he's the hero of this movie, and I'm like, how?
Yeah,
what?
Because, like, even before she comes along and after she leaves, like, he's feeding his four kids, like, one can of SpaghettiOs and Ritz crackers in a bowl.
Yeah.
And that's enough. That's meant to be enough for four kids and him. Like,
Yeah. And just like, and yes, it's the 80s. And yes, his wife died, but his wife died 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, how are these children still alive, basically?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause like they live in like a completely falling down house. Like, not a, like, actually falling down, like, leaking,
yeah,
and
like,
there's no clean dishes or no clean
surfaces
in the whole house.
Like, it's like, just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, so she's terrible, he's terrible, and then they both like the kids, so they fall in love?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he likes the kids, really. Like, I guess he does, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he does get better at the end, but it's still kind of a hot mess. And then also in there, he decides to build a very complicated mini golf course.
Yeah.
This is like financial plan. Yeah. So we've covered the, whoa, this is sketchy.
Yes. Yeah.
Quite exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Her rich person wardrobe is amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. She like, as they change the umbrellas and chair covers or on the deck, or maybe they change those to match her outfits. Anyway, she coordinates with the deck of the boat quite a lot, and she wears incredibly high cut.
Oh my God, it's insane. Bathing suits.
Like, terrifying.
Yeah, but she's got like amazing hats and sunglasses, and it's amazing. And yeah, like, obviously, she's supposed to be a terrible person. Like, that's the point. Yeah. And there gets to the part where you're like, I'm done with you being terrible. Like, this is too much. But
yeah,
there's definitely parts at the beginning where she is funny. Like, this is funny stuff. Oh, yeah,
completely.
Yeah, like, at that stuff, I'm like, yeah, she's funny. And her outfits are ridiculous. Like, yeah, sure. This is
it's totally interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, especially because I was watching it, like, casting from my computer onto my TV. And so it was, like, super low res, like, pretty pixelated. But, like, she looks exactly like her daughter.
I know. Like, we said that last time, but this is even more so. Like,
even more so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But she is amazing. Like, when she starts to become a person, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, like, towards the end.
Yeah. She's incredible. She becomes a very good mom. She's, like, and she does a great job acting.
Yes.
And, yeah. So I really enjoy Goldie in this movie.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. And, like, she actually has some character growth. Like, she, you know, once she recovers from the amnesia, her, like, she, especially, like, from when she goes back to the yacht.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She has, like, some really great character bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously it's an 80s movie, and you can tell both by the wardrobe and also the fat shaming and slut shaming.
Mm-hmm. Aww. Yeah.
Yeah. Yay. So cute.
So great.
So great.
Yeah, him telling, like, her saying, she's like, I'm a slut for going home with you, when he's just, like, telling her lies, trying to sleep with her.
Yeah.
When she has amnesia and he's, like, holding her against, unknowingly against her will, in his house, in his bed.
Yeah. I mean, she does end up sleeping on the couch, so that is a little better, but yeah. But
yeah.
And then, yeah, so you think the two main characters are so evil, and then you realize, oh, wait. Or you realize again that when she realizes that her actual husband saw her in the psych ward of the hospital and just pretended he didn't know her and left her there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's awful. Like, you know, that's the point. But, like, yeah, so awful.
So, yeah, this is based in Oregon. I looked it up, and it wasn't actually filmed here. I was wondering, because it could have been.
Yeah, totally.
And also, we know that Goldie and Kurt lived here for
a very long time. But after this, yeah.
But yeah, your note about the boat action. There were so many boats at this part of Oregon, but we went to Oregon and saw no boats.
No boats.
The least amount of boats I've seen in my life.
We spent, I don't know, like 30 hours over 6 days sitting on beaches in Oregon and saw, like, 5 boats.
Yeah.
Maybe. Weird. Other than, like, this doesn't count when we were in, like, the tiny port. Like, obviously we saw more boats there, but as soon as we were, like, on the open coast, we saw no boats.
No.
So strange. So, but But yeah, this is meant to be, it's Tillamook, so it's, like, northern Oregon / Washington, I think. I'm not really sure. And then he is a little bit redeemed. Like, he's pretending to her that all these nights, like, he's making her deal with the kids and then abandoning her, and he says it's, like, to go bowling and drinking with his buddies, but then we find out that he's actually, like, working a second job or working a night job to be able to pay the bills. So, like, it's still not great that he, like, is forcing this woman to be a slave, but at least he's not also, like, forcing her to do it so that he can just have fun with his buddies. But also that it's very telling of the times that, like, he thinks that that's a better reason to leave in the evenings than working a second job
to feed his children one can of SpaghettiOs. Yeah, but still. Yeah.
All I could think when I kept seeing the kids was Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
I think it's just all the boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Because they got more character near as they got better. Like, at the beginning, they were just, like, one mush of...
They were a blob of tiny boys.
Tiny terror boys. And then they got personalities as well, kind of, some of them.
Yeah.
And so they got better. Like, I think, like, everything got better the more the movie went on. Basically.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And there were just too many Pee Wee Herman references in this movie. The littlest kid was obsessed with, like, imitating Pee Wee Herman. Like, basically, probably half of his dialogue was spoken like Pee Wee Herman, and it was just weird, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those things where it was a child actor trying to get a catchphrase.
Maybe, yeah.
Or something. Like, it was just like, I need to be memorable, so I'm going to be the kid who had all the Pee Wee Herman quotes. Like, something about the way that it was, the way that they shot it, the way that it was 1987. Like, it was just...
Yeah, I don't remember caring about that much about Pee Wee Herman in 1987, and I definitely don't now. So it's a part that didn't age well, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, like, I have very few notes about this movie, because the entire thing, all I would write is, this is sketchy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of it. Just...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because he says at one point, he's like, well, $25 a day times blah, blah, blah. He's basically, like, counting down how much money she owes him from the carpentry job at $25 a day, which, like, I guess for the 80s. But, like, this person was working 24/7, doing everything for the household, like, cooking, cleaning, raising the kids. He, like, leaves her with a list of chores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absurd. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tropes.
So we've got, once we get past the sketchiness parts and they start to fall in love, we've got obviously the different worlds.
Yes.
And like, I wouldn't say opposites attract, but it's more like different worlds.
Yeah. Attract. Like, yeah. Opposite sides of the train tracks kind of deal.
Yeah. And it's, although it's never one of those, like, how could she love me? She's got all of this money. Like, that never comes up, obviously, because he's so, for someone who's like, I need to work the second job so I can have enough money, and I'm too proud to lie about it, or too proud to tell the truth about it, I am still, like, better than everybody else. It's a really weird character thing that he's got going on.
Yeah, people in her life are confused about how she can fall for him or go back to him, but he never is, like, questions it. Her real husband is terrible, but then they're both terrible to each other, as we see in their relationship. So
yeah, like, I don't think, like, they didn't marry for love.
No.
But yeah, he's just, it's just one of those things of, he's so blatantly awful, of course it's easy to leave him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And montages, oh my goodness.
Oh, so many.
There's so many montages of her, like, learning how to clean the house, and it's so funny about all the things. And
yeah,
You know, some of them were funny. Like, the chainsaw thing was terrifying. Like, what are you doing with the chainsaw anyway?
Why does she need a chainsaw to...
What is she doing to do chores? It was very weird, but...
It was terrible. There's a plethora of random dancing, including they end up, like, going out for he fakes that it's her birthday, and they go out, and they have, like... Yeah, it's probably, like, their first sort of almost romantic scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he almost tells her the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tells her maybe a made-up myth. I don't know if that was real or not.
I don't know if it's made up for the movie, but I think it's real in the, or maybe it's made up for the movie, but it's definitely real in his brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he made it up for her. Okay. I think it's
something that he knew. Okay.
Yeah. That was my vibes anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then running after her in a boat and then swimming off of the boat. Although she also jumps off the boat to swim. But yeah, the running after her in a Coast Guard boat is pretty...
Yeah, the Coast Guard boat was funny.
Yeah, no, I like that guy. And he's like, man overboard, woman overboard, another man overboard, what a day on the Coast Guard, or whatever. Like, that guy was cool. I liked him.
Yeah, yeah, the Coast Guard guy was funny. The friend was kind of funny in places, like, very stereotypical, but
yeah,
he was funny in places.
Mm-hmm.
So many.
And then, Hector Elizondo was there for 5 seconds because it's a Gary Marshall movie and he has to be. And he was funny.
Yeah. Because
he was talking about pulling her out of the water. And so I enjoyed that. It was probably racist. I don't think Hector Elizondo is Puerto Rican. I think that's what it was supposed to be.
No, Portuguese.
Portuguese.
That's the garbage ship.
Yeah,
right?
The garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portuguese.
Yeah. But
I have no idea.
I have no idea. So I'm going to just leave it at that. He was funny because he's Hector Elizondo, not because he was playing into any kind of stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, aside from garbage men.
Yeah. Amazing. Lindsay, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, her mom's in it. So technically, they talk at the beginning about how bored she is on the boat.
Yeah, they talk about her boredom and they talk about her marriage and like kids and stuff. But yeah, so they maybe technically, but no, like.
No, like that's the whole really the only point other of this character. Movie is that women are for cleaning and cooking and taking care of children and then for sex. And that's all they're good for. And they should be happy to do that. And that's what they should want. And that's
well, yeah, because she goes from, you know, not wanting kids and wanting to have this rich lifestyle to meeting some kids and then having a desperate urge to be a mother and a wife and wants another baby. Yep.
Yep.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Okay. Pause that feminist rant and let's make a pie.
Okay. Yeah. So the first thing I wrote down for pie was her sunglasses because they're so amazing. And they're just like, this was the part of the 80s that I missed because I was three.
Yes.
About amazing sunglasses that are like slanted or like one has like a fancy thing going out of it. They're very not Elton John, but kind of Elton John. And just like, I'm into them. But also again, her hats. The first thing time we see her, she's wearing this like full sequence captain's jacket.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's amazing. She has to like turn sideways to go through the narrow ship doors because the shoulder pads are so epic. Yeah, I don't know, all of her basically Goldie Hawn's outfits and accessories, 35%?
Sure.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm gonna remember.
Okay, so then maybe more, 45%.
Okay.
Yeah, 45%. Okay.
Random bands, like we said, they go randomly dancing before then. There's the shots of the bowling alley twice and there's bands playing, and then they go out to a pub and there's a band, and then there's a band playing at in the gazebo at the miniature park miniature golf opening ceremonies or whatever.
This tiny fishing town in Oregon has an amazing live music scene.
Yeah, like because they're different bands, like the bowling alley people are the same, but it's weird. There's a lot of bands in this movie. And I'm like, are they famous bands? Because it wasn't in the trivia. So does Gary Marshall just have like a lot of like nephews who are in bands?
Or like, musician friends or something? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway, it was very random.
20%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have the three horns, which just always makes me think of like knock three times, even though it's like not at all the same. But I don't know. Another 20% maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a huge thing. And it like she would have realized it was him if it wasn't for the three horns. But
yeah,
it's just a nice little callback. Mm-hmm. And so that leaves us with 15%.
Yep.
Feral children.
That
they're so feral. Oh, man. OK, what a great pie. Except keep it way over there because those children.
Yep. No, are thank you.
Terrifying. OK, Lindsay, what's next for them?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like maybe. I guess they were together in, like, the positive aspects together, even though he was still lying to her. But they lived positively together for a decent amount of time because it was the time that it took for him to build a miniature golf course from scratch. So that's some time.
But she didn't know who she was
fully. But I'm just like, they know how to live together, kind of?
Kind of.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she says at the end that she wants to have a daughter. And so at least, like, I mean, presumably she'll get some sort of divorce settlement. So.
No, it's her money.
Oh, it's her money. Never mind. Yeah. So she has her, like, her mom's money and her money.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Right.
I hope she signs a prenup.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe can hire some well-paid people to work in her house. And she'll learn to treat them better.
Yeah. I assume that, like, Overboard 2 was her learning to never cleaning again because oh my god it was so terrible
but also hopefully she treats and pays and her treats staff better because now she knows how hard it is.
I feel like her moment with the butler guy when she's better is like indicative of that, of like she's like I get it now.
Or like when she's terrible, like doing shots with the boat staff guys. It was awesome.
So, I don't know what's next for them, but then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let's just forget it and think about how they're together still in IRL.
Indeed. So cute. And then, Lindsay, what's next for us? Because it's way happier.
So much better.
Yeah.
We are heading into Hugh Grant month, but we've already done so many Hugh Grant movies, you ask. How can you find a theme? And I have one. It's floppy 90s Hugh Grant.
Indeed. And
it's going to be a great. Starting with the one that's probably most egregious for not have being done yet. Notting Hill.
Indeed. Yeah. For people our age to have a rom-com podcast and have gotten this far into it without Notting Hill. We are fixing that problem. Indeed. It's going to be a good time. And that brings us to the end of our episode. You can leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find us on social media. We're at Charts and Hearts Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, or at Charts and Hearts on Twitter.
You can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Charts and Hearts Club. The entire reason for this weird season was First Wives Club, which was great. Never going to have any, like, there's obviously issues in it, but never going to have any issues with watching that movie.
No, always a delight.
If you feel weird about listening to this episode and our last episode, and then go listen, join our Patreon and enjoy us just gushing about
indeed
First Wives Club. And we've also got an amazing backlog of stuff. And for Hugh Grant Month, we'll be doing The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain, which I've only seen once. So anyway, check it out there. And also on our head to our website, chartsandhearts.com, where you can submit your suggestions for rom-coms and tropes for us to add to the list.
Let us know your thoughts on this movie as well. And in the meantime, conspiring with the enemy at sea is mutiny.